Blog Talk Radio.
Anymore. You said he was big, he was hairy, he smelled like rotten testicles. Remember that? And then you bought out the wine, and we got drunk, and we did those special exercises. Yeah, you remember that? Yeah, look at you.
What? I got a jail for less than you.
Jail's no fun, I'll tell you that much.
Where you been?
Once. In Monopoly.
106 miles to Chicago. We got a full tank of gas, half a pack of cigarettes, it's dark, and we're wearing sunglasses. Hit it.
It's a sparkle kid.
Hello, you people. Today is Wednesday, January 27th, 2016. I'm your host, Pat McNeil, bringing you today's installment of the second most listened to professional wrestling podcast in the world. That's right, this is the PW Torch Livecast. We are taking your calls, 646-721-9828. We're taking your emails, pwtorchlivecast@gmail.com. We're coming at you with 60-plus minutes of wrestling and fun, and if you're not careful, you just might learn something before we're done. And That's Sport for Kings by Kids on Bridges. They are the official artist of the PW Torch Livecast, and they are available on iTunes. So go ahead and check them out when you can. Let's see, Twitter questions. Yeah, you can tweet us at Real Pat McNeil if you are so inclined. But right now, let's get this party started here. Hold on a moment. Yeah.
To introduce our guest star, that's what it's time to do. So it really makes me happy to introduce to you.
Ladies and gentlemen, please give a warm welcome to the man who is, for the first time, taking over the live cast on Saturday mornings, starting this week, Mr. Jim Valley. Jim, are you there?
Saturday morning wrestling starting this Saturday, 8:30 Pacific, 11:30 Eastern. You can call in live just like you can today, and we'll talk old school wrestling. So it'll be fun.
Yeah, that's okay. So it's going to be primarily about old school wrestling?
Maybe we'll tie into some stuff. But I mean, by the time Saturday comes, I mean, how many times can you dissect Monday Night Raw?
I don't know, but we probably won't find that out until later on in this hour.
That's exactly that. Right. No, it should be a lot of fun. We'll talk the wrestling you grew up with, thus Saturday morning wrestling, like the old days when you'd watch Superstars or Memphis or World Class or whatever happened. That's what it's supposed to call back to.
Yeah, see, that's the thing. What people may not know is that they used to air wrestling on Saturday mornings in the United States.
That's right. It used to be all those cartoons.
Yeah, I know it's been a while since that happened, but this is true. So really, it does tie in. And we are awaiting the arrival of our other guest, Mr. Scotty Riggs. I'm sure he'll be turning up any second now. But in the meantime, 646-721-9828, pwtorchlivecast@gmail.com. Let's find out who is actually occupying the other lines. We're going to go to take a call from the 814 area code. 814, please state your name and town. You're on the live cast. Hello.
This is Ryan from Cumberland, Maryland.
Hi, Ryan. Are you going to wait for Scotty, or
give you some questions about Daniel Bryan? Is he the first wrestler that ever wanted to wrestle? He got cleared by several doctors, and the company still wouldn't let him wrestle. Or have there been other wrestlers in the past where this has happened to?
There are lots of other wrestlers who have been medically cleared who WWE never hired in the first place, but no, I think this one's kind of an original, Jim.
Well, the other thing to think about is that this whole thing with being cleared and such by WWE doctors and things is a relatively new phenomenon. So
yeah.
It's entirely possible that this could have happened in the past had WWE been held to this kind of standard or, you know, had this kind of system in place in the past. But the fact is that it didn't. You know, in the past, they didn't have downside guarantees. In the past, if you didn't work, you didn't get paid. And so in the past, you'd see a lot of wrestlers, whether they were ready to get back or not, they would come back to wrestle. You know, probably one of the most famous examples is Tim Woods. He was in the that famous car wreck that Ric Flair was in, and plane crash Ric Flair was in, and he, to save the business, got basically wrestled like 2 weeks later, when he was clearly in no condition to wrestle. And there are many other examples of that kind of thing where people have come back much, much sooner than they should have. But in the case of Daniel Bryan, I think the circumstances and the testing is so new that makes his a unique case, although he wouldn't be the first wrestler that wants to come back.
You have to remember is, you know, I know Daniel Bryan wants to come back. I know he's been, you know, medically cleared, but I'm sure somebody in the legal department or Vince's insurance carrier has mentioned, say, what happens if Daniel Bryan comes back and in his first match back, he sustains a crippling injury or dies. Then suddenly there's a huge lawsuit from people who were depending on Daniel Bryan, you know, for Daniel Bryan's family, for example. I mean, and this is this is obviously a somewhat far-fetched hypothetical, but it's possible. You know, they don't want to start a precedent where they're going to ignore people, you know, where people who have where people who can't get cleared by WWE doctors are allowed to wrestle in the ring.
I have a question about the Royal Rumble. Was there any wrestlers that you wanted to see a surprise entrance that weren't in the Rumble this year?
Rob Van Dam wasn't in. He's a semi-regular at this point. They didn't bring back the Honky Tonk Man. They didn't do the bit, Jim, where they bring back the names from the past to get that one big pop out of them.
Yeah, there was no Ming in no King Haku in the Royal Rumble, just in the New Japan Rumble. They didn't seem to do that. And while that's a fun spot, I think in years past, was it like 2 or 3 years ago where they brought out like too many of those guys? There was like all the New Age Outlaws and a few others that just, it kind of watered it down. I don't think I'd mind that they kind of took a break from that gimmick a little bit.
They seem to be, I mean, the surprise is, you know, AJ Styles was a surprise. You know, Sami Zayn was a surprise. They seem to be focused. They seem to be focused on the future in a way that they haven't been in previous years.
And to be honest, you know, if they would have brought back, somebody from the history books, I think it would have watered down AJ Styles. And I think you wanted to put your focus on AJ. And I think the fact that he was in there for 20, 30 minutes, whatever it was. You know, it was a good accounting, and, you know, you don't want to water down a Royal Rumble. I mean, if they would have brought back the Honky Tonk Man or whatever, you know, people wouldn't have been talking about that. I barely remember, to be honest, Sami Zayn. I think it was a good move to have. Well, there was no real follow-up with him the next night. That probably hurt. But who knows what they're going to do.
Yeah,
but I think it was a good move.
What's your thoughts on Triple H not defending the title until WrestleMania? Do you think he should honor the 30-day rule, or do you think they should make an exception in this instance?
Well, they made exceptions for Brock Lesnar while he was champion. He certainly didn't honor the 30-day rule. You know, you're going to complain that Triple H is not wrestling enough. Not everybody is going to agree with you on that. I mean, they certainly could have him defend the title at Fastlane, but I think the point that they're trying to get across is that, you know, is authority unfair? You know, authority evil, authority by breaking the rules. I mean, I think it might help if they did a Raw where, you know, Triple H says he's going to defend his title, and then, I don't know, Norv Fernum comes out or whoever to challenge for it.
I think once a month isn't too bad.
Yeah, I would prefer to see, you know, I mean, I kind of like when it's treated as a sport and the title has to be defended every 30 days and whatnot, but that doesn't seem to be what they're going for. Okay, Ryan.
Jim, do you have any thoughts on it?
Jim?
I guess I'm just so used to it by now that, I remember back in the day you'd have to have somebody give up a title after 30 days, but, you know, they don't do time limit draws anymore. There's a lot of things from the sports aspect that they took out, and I guess I hadn't even thought about the whole thing. But, in the future when they need to bring it back, they will. I mean, you know, Daniel Bryan hadn't defended the title in less than 30 days, and they stripped him because they knew he wasn't going to be back. They, you know, they kind of pull it out of their holster when they need to, but as a regular device, I don't see it coming back.
Okay, thanks, Pat. Thanks, Jim.
Hey, no problem. Okay, that was Ryan. Ryan checks in with us every week, and that opens up a line for you at 646-721-9828. PWTorchLivecast@gmail.com is the other way you can reach us. We're expecting Scotty Riggs to drop by, I don't know, any minute now. Usually he's there at the top of the program. So Jim, you know, we haven't really talked since the Rumble and since Raw. There's been a whole lot happening. What do you think the big development of the past 72 hours was?
I think the biggest development is I'll take that back. I don't know if there's a big development. Let me back up here a second. I think that the Rumble itself was one of the best Rumbles in history. As far as, you know, there was good action, there was good development, there were some surprises. It was everything you want from that Rumble formula, which was great. I think there was some momentum lost on Raw. Even, you know, I think the new blood with AJ Styles definitely helps, and I think, you know, he's definitely going to be in a nice supporting match in WrestleMania, whether it's Kevin Owens or Chris Jericho or somebody of the like. He's going to be in that fourth from the top match that always, you know, supplies action, or at least the match you hope that's going to supply action, depending on how much time they decide to give it. But, I mean, heading into Fastlane, I think it's pretty predictable what's going to happen, that, you know, Brock is probably going to get screwed by the Wyatt family out of the match, and then Roman Reigns will somehow go on to face Triple H at WrestleMania. I think the focus on Roman Reigns hasn't changed. It always makes me laugh when people like look at pay-per-views in this siloed way, like they just stand alone, and there were people tweeting and posting about how happy they were that, you know, Roman Reigns lost the title without looking at the big picture. And the big picture is that this is still about Roman Reigns. This is still the story of Roman Reigns against the McMahon family and the Authority, and it's going to continue to be at least through WrestleMania at the very least.
At the very latest. Okay, hold on a moment. We do want to take care of one other important piece.
To introduce our guest star, that's what it's time to do. So it really makes me happy to introduce to you,
ladies and gentlemen, legendary former WCW World Tag Team Champion Scotty. How are you doing, Scotty?
Very good, guys. How are you guys doing tonight?
We're doing fine. Sorry, I did not know you were already in the queue waiting for us, but it's good to have you back on the show.
Oh, that's no problem. I got to listen to a couple questions being asked and, you know, felt like I was in a flock again, like I was sitting in a ringside seat watching everything going on.
Okay. Well, yeah, except we don't provide the gimmicks that you got when you were sitting ringside with the flock.
What's that, Jackie Crockett with the camera telling us we're on camera or not?
Yeah, well, you were also able to sneak beers there.
Every now and then. Until Van Hammer got us busted for trying to smoke a cigarette in an arena. That was the most ridiculous thing, but,
that was,
you know.
That was genius, obviously.
Memories.
Yes. Okay, what did you think about Raw Monday night, Scotty? Do you think the follow-up, that they did a good job of following up on the Rumble, or did you feel like it was just another too long Monday night?
I mean, it seemed like they were giving everybody something new, at least, coming off the pay-per-view. A lot of times, like right after a pay-per-view, you'll see the exact same match over again. You'll, you know, at least once or twice. I almost expected Del Rio to fight Kalisto for the U.S. title again. You know, even though they just did it Monday the week before, Thursday lost it again, then he went back to the pay-per-view. You almost expected another rematch of that. So as a fan watching, I was kind of glad to see AJ Styles and Jericho work, you know. They gave you something new, at least, you know, and they gave you Ziggler and Owens, you know. At least they gave you one match that had a legitimate heel, a legitimate bad guy, one guy that's trying to be a villain to it, and one match that had two that could have been, you know, a great scientific battle, I guess you could say. So something new for them to do.
I understand. A couple things being discussed. People over the past couple of nights, they're a little upset over Triple H being the champion again. And I can, part of me, I understand why some people are upset. But, the odds of the McMahons, holding the, trying to set the attendance record this year and them not being in a major role on WrestleMania, that just seemed very unlikely to me. And I think this is part of what they're doing in order to they're trying to get Roman Reigns over. You can debate over what they're doing and why, but they're trying to get him over as their big dog. 646-721-9828. Are you ready to go back to the phones, gentlemen?
Let's hit it.
Okay, we're going to go to the 609 area code. 609, please state your name and town. You're on the live cast with Jim Bally, Scotty Rick. Hello.
Hey, how you doing? I'm Joe here from Voorhees, New Jersey.
Hey, Joe.
What's up, Joe?
Hey, what's going on, fellas? I just had a quick comment and question. With recent signings that they did in NXT, seems like they brought James Storm in and the money didn't work out, but they brought Austin Aries in and the money did. And I was just wondering, was that WWE undervaluing James Storm or TNA undervaluing Austin Aries?
I would say it could be both. Let's see. I think that Storm was a good fit for was probably a good fit for the main roster instead of the NXT. And I think Aries did very well in his time in TNA. Scotty,
That's a tough question, I guess, to really when it comes down to finances. That's kind of a personal thing in the business, especially. So it's kind of hard to say whether they undervalued or overvalued or whatever. I mean, it all depended on what Austin Aries wanted to do. James got in there, got a taste for what was going on. Maybe, there's so many hypotheticals that go along with either, everybody thinks you get to WWE, it's the grandest thing in the world and everything else. And sometimes it's not what somebody wants. They get there and say, I'm here, but this really isn't what I want. Like you said, James Storm could have been a better fit for the main roster. The only thing that's going to hold Aries back is his size from getting to the main roster quickly. His talent is all there, but, all depends on how they're going to view his size. But, it's so hard to really to quantify the question you're asking. Because, man, Aries is going to get in there and have some great matches with any of them. So, it's just hard to really put that into perspective. That's a great question, though. That's a great behind the curtain question.
All right, Jim.
I agree with Scotty. I think it's hard to tell exactly what somebody's goals are and what they want to do. I mean, as far as money goes, I mean, we don't know that. Is Aries making about the same money or more or less? We don't know. We don't know. Is he good with his money? Is he bad with his money? Where it matters a great deal to him, we don't know that. It could be a matter of Aries wants creative that's not stupid. Maybe Aries was frustrated with TNA management. Maybe he wants to work the opportunity to work with Joe again or Finn Balor again or whomever. I mean, there could be a lot of factors that we don't know. And, I think I agree with Scotty. I think a lot of it is just kind of speculation.
I can also tell you this, Joe. James Storm was there for a couple times, and they didn't seem too anxious to start a program with him. Austin Aries shows up at the tapings this weekend, and not to give anything away, but his first appearance, they jumped him right into something. So I think,
that's
something
true
to do with it. Yeah.
That was a great question, though, Jim. Like I said, that's one of those questions that's like behind the curtain,
Thank you.
Another question, Joe?
Yeah, just one last thing. Just following up on that. Is there any way or any talent out there that you see TNA could actually use to turn the tide a little bit more in their favor or at least create more excitement for their product? It's just hard to see where they could go. It seems Triple H done a very good job of creating excitement for NXT, pulling talent from different areas. Of course, he has more resources. But is there any talent out there that TNA could use? Of course, the Wolves and EC3 have been great. Is there any other talent that could help bring them more to the forefront?
Well, I mean, that is a problem. And, I mean, in addition to Triple H creating NXT, they have a working arrangement with Evolve. So you know, so they're going to try to. So you know, Gabe Sapolsky is, you know, they're going to be looking at the Evolve people, and they're, you know, if there's anybody they want, they're going to try to steer them towards WWE and an NXT deal. You also have Ring of Honor, which, you know, locks up most of the wrestlers they want to hang on to in the contracts. That doesn't leave a lot of free talent roaming around. You know, still there. I mean, they're finding enough people to get by, I would say. Jim, you want to take a stab at that?
My answer would be much simpler. No, there's nothing. I mean, TNA has had Ric Flair. They've had Mick Foley. They've had Booker T. They've had Christian. They've had so many people that really haven't moved the needle at all. They've been on larger cable. They've been on Monday Night. You know, and now they're on. You know, now they're not getting any money for their television deal. You know, I think TNA just is what it is, and I think until WWE gets hotter or someone is able to do something to get wrestling hotter, that TNA is going to either tread water or fall further down the totem pole.
Scott?
When you look at TNA right now, they got talent. I mean, they got guys like Bram in there. They, you know, they're bringing in Maria Canales and Michael Bennett and stuff, but they're really not doing anything hot with these guys. You know, it's almost the same stigma of like having John Cena being the heavyweight champion all the time over there. You got the same pool of guys who're doing the same thing over. I almost understand that they're just trying to re-educate everybody what's going on and kind of like start things at least new a little bit. But it's with the same people. You're just switching roles. You know, EC3 is now a good guy, I guess, and Matt Hardy is now vicious with a wife and child by his side. You know, does that really make sense? You're getting heat on your kid? You know, that some of that doesn't seem to make a whole lot of sense to me. It's just like TNA is going to flounder until they really start using their talent the best way their talent can be used. That was the one thing in WCW, you know, Kevin Sullivan and Arn Anderson were part of the booking committee and everything, and they always, like, when I worked with the deal with Raven, sat us down, said, this is what we, you know, here's an idea for you, this is what we want, and then me and Raven went and ran with it, put it all together. You know, and it worked because they gave us an idea, but we knew how to get ourselves into it and make it work. We weren't given an entire script to do. This is who you are, this is how you're going to be, this is how you're going to react, and this is what we want you to do. You know, we had that creative time to develop who we were into our matches. And it doesn't sound like they have that there yet. They don't know how to make their guys who they are as themselves. And hopefully just make it, you know. Like Stone Cold Steve Austin without Stone Cold Steve Austin until he found that niche of himself.
Right.
And that's what they got to do. Their creative has got to find out who these guys are as themselves, not make them play a role.
Joe drops off, and that opens up a line for you, 646-721-9828. PWTorchLivecast@gmail.com is the other way you can reach us. Let's see, let me get to one more email, and then we're going to go take a commercial break here. This one is from Kyle, and, Kyle wants to know.
I love your sound effects.
Thank you. He was thinking about Roman Reigns' predicament and was wondering, do you see a parallel between Rocky Maivia becoming, you know, having to become The Rock and Roman Reigns, you know, and Roman Reigns' trouble getting accepted by fans? Because fans hated the original Rocky Maivia character but got on board quickly when he became The Rock. That's a reasonable question. Do you think that... I mean, I agree with part of this. I think Roman Reigns needs to be, you know, he needs to be the one creating his character. It's what you talked about, Scotty. I mean, by all accounts,
yeah.
Roman Reigns by himself, you know, left to his own devices, sounds like a human being and is charismatic and can actually speak in complete sentences. And I mean, I think being scripted as heavily as he is not helping him at all.
If they let him do, you know, just, you know, real. Not what he, what was it? I think he had chicken nuggets or whatever it was that he tried to play 3-4 times, 5-6 times against Sheamus. I can't remember
the
what
tater
it
was.
Tater top. He used that like 15, like the first time he used it, it was great. the 5 or 6 time he started, he kept using it because he didn't know where to go from that point on because he'd been so heavily scripted. You know, and that's a shame. You know, The Rock can go out there and the promo we saw him do, or promo, whatever you want to call it, that he did Monday is a lost art. And it had its energy from who he was as The Rock, like you were saying. But that's, you'll never, ever see anybody do that again probably within the next 10 years. Unless it's, you know, one of the older guys come up, because they're so heavily scripted now. And until Roman finds that niche for himself, you know, it's going to be hard for him. It's almost like you want to see him turn heel and really get some steam as a heel, kind of like you do with Rocky. You know, when he became The Rock and he turned heel, it took him doing that to really get over. And it might be a tried and true, I guess, cookie cutter, you know, way of doing it. That might work for him, but you just don't know because they force fed him down our throat so much. The guy's talented, he's good, but it's just kind of, you know, when it doesn't happen organically a lot of times, the fans are going to, you know, they're going to poop on it. And unfortunately, that's what happened to him right now. It's almost getting there, and then boom, it just ain't there yet because people know he's not himself yet. Fans might be a little rougher there toward people, but they know genuine when they see it. That's what you got to feed off of.
Well, this, you know, it's interesting to talk to Scotty about this. Scotty, were you still there when you were there in WCW when the Goldberg phenomenon took off organically? Were you not?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was like the third or fourth match.
Yeah. Now you were you also there during his first promo in the ring, his first live in ring promo? Were you at that Nitro?
I was there, but I don't remember it. That's how much of an impact it made on me.
Yeah, I think that's pretty much the impact it made on everybody.
I mean, I still remember when I wrestled him, because he was doing that Who's Next, was his only line. And I told him at the end, I can't remember if he did it or not, I can't remember if he said more. But I remember when he was covering me, I said, just say Who's Next. You know, because I figured if you went to the camera, you know, I said, just say Who's Next. That's all you got to say. That's all you got to say. I can't remember if he said more or not. But, you know, that's all he needed to say. Boom. And he had him. You know, once you made him talk, you lost him.
That Goldberg couldn't do what The Rock does. And, you know, I mean,
and I'm not sure Roman Reigns can.
Yeah. I mean, other than, they shouldn't try to, I mean, he shouldn't be trying to be The Rock. You know?
Or John Cena.
Well, no. Nobody should be trying. Oh, well, all right, you know what?
That's the thing about wrestling right now, seems like. So I'm going to go more with sports entertainment right now. Is they're trying to make people be a character that they're not yet. You know? Like you said, they're wanting Roman to be the Roman Empire. You know, they want to have that, you know, like you had Cesaro's section. It almost happened organically. You know, just it was there. Boom, Cesaro's section was great. And then, unfortunately, you know, he gets hurt. And
right.
The section disappears. But, you know, if the Roman Empire could be a section, you know, boom, 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 and just start developing organically, it would be awesome to see that. Because that's awesome. That's a really cool gimmick in a sense. But they're trying to write for that to be something, and it's not him yet. And it's just, that's the toughest thing about sports entertainment. They're trying to be a TV show instead of letting them be who they are as wrestlers. I know that's kind of throwing a whole bunch of terminology together.
It sounds kind of befuddled
by me.
No, you're doing fine. We're going to take a break here. When we come back, we have a caller waiting from the 773 area code. No idea who that could be, by the way. And we've got questions from the chat room, and we will continue with Scotty Riggs and Jim Belly after this timeout.
If you're like me, you've got a list of favorite websites and a list of favorite podcasts that you visit either every day or throughout the week, but there's probably not a lot of crossover between the two. However, with PW Torch Livecast, that's different. If you're a listener of this show, you should also be visiting our main website, pwtorch.com, loaded with updates covering news in more depth than you'll find anywhere else. Editorials you won't find anywhere else, live TV coverage and pay-per-view coverage that's unmatched, and so much more on a newly redesigned, optimized, lightning-fast website, That's pwtorch.com. Check it out every day and bookmark it. No matter what device you're using, whether it's a mobile phone, a tablet, a laptop, or a desktop, there's a version that fits your screen and customized for your device. Check it out, pwtorch.com, one of the top sources of pro wrestling insider news since 1987 and online as a website since 1999. Don't miss out. Don't just listen to the live cast. In between live cast listens or while you're listening to the live cast, check out the latest headlines and exclusive articles at pwtorch.com.
So for a tasty treat that's good to eat, try Soylent Green. Soylent Green is people. Soylent Green, made from the best stuff on earth. People.
All right, then we're back with more of the Wednesday live cast here. Pat McNeil with Jim Valley and Scotty Riggs. And I get to talk about all of our wonderful sponsors. So, James, get ready to edit this out for the VIP version. I'd like to talk about our sponsor, Audible.com. That's Audible.com is where they sell audiobooks. Over 180,000 audiobooks from all the top authors: Paula Hawkins, John Grisham, Stephen King, James Patterson, Harper Lee, Bill O'Reilly, Gloria Steinem. There are also wrestling books on there, believe it or not. The Shawn Michaels, unfortunately, other than Mick Foley, I don't think a lot of wrestlers actually do the audio for their wrestling books, Jim. Very sad. But, yeah. Anyway, you go to audibletrial.com/prowrestlingtour to get the first book free, $14.95 a month to be a member, and you choose one book a month, any book you want. It's like the old Columbia Record and Tape Club. You listen to it wherever you want, exchange any book you don't like, no questions asked, and cancel at any time, audibletrial.com/prowrestlingtorch. Wade Keller would like to remind you to shop at pwtorch.com/Amazon, that helped offset the incredible cost of putting together this this live cast here. Also, we have another sponsor. It is Loot Crate. Yes, the problem that people have, Jim, I find is, people just don't have enough crap. Wouldn't you say that's the problem?
Absolutely, especially in America.
That's right. So Loot Crate is a monthly subscription box service for epic geek and gamer items and pop culture gear for less than $20 a month. You get 6 to 8 items, including licensed gear, apparel, collectibles, unique one-of-a-kind items, and more. This month's theme is Dead. That's right. You will get exclusive one-of-a-kind gear from Walking Dead, Harry Potter, and Deadpool. You get a T-shirt and an action figure is guaranteed in this month's loot crate. You can also get various specialty loot crates for your pets, anime loot crates. There is a special Firefly loot crate that they're putting together now. You can also buy some of the past month's loot crates on their website. You enter the code PWTORCH and you save $3 off your first crate. It's all very exciting. Let's see. So, it's more than just a... they ship to 27 countries with more info on their site, and shipping is included. It guaranteed $40-plus dollars in value in every crate. Sometimes it's a lot more. So go out and get some crap. Loot Crate, it's perfect for the people that you don't know how to shop for. They will get a box of something delivered in the mail. It's and what's more exciting than that? Right, Jim?
Nothing. I know Johnny Fairplay is always opening up his loot crate online, and he's always got some good gimmicks in there.
Yes, there's nothing like there's nothing like a good unboxing video. That's how I like to unwind at the end of the day. Watch hundreds of unboxing videos on YouTube. Let's see, there's something else I'm supposed to be hyping right now.
Ideas are intriguing to me, and I wish to subscribe to your newsletter.
pwtorch.com/govip, $10 a month, $99 a year for you big spenders. Become a member, get your share of at least 15 VIP exclusive audio shows per week, including the VIP after show, which James Caldwell and I will be taping tonight, and of course, including the very popular Wayback Playback, which airs every you can get a new episode every Sunday here on pwtorch.com. We're currently up to episode 72, where we covered the first hour of Super Brawl 3, and next weekend it's the second hour of Super Brawl 3. We've actually covered Scotty Riggs matches.
Dun dun dun.
I know. It's
Super Brawl 2 was good, wasn't it?
Super Brawl 2 was good. We might have to do that.
Which Super Brawl did Flair and Fujinami work? Was that 1 or 2?
That was 1. Yes.
That's the one I dug. I dug the first one then.
Super Brawl 2 was Sting and Luger. If that helps.
Okay. Yeah, I dug the first one.
Okay.
It was one of those deals where everyone in the world was going, "Who's Fujinami?" In my mind, as a wrestling fan, I'm going, "Dude, this guy's from Japan coming over to wrestle." So to me, that was cool. Most wrestling fans right here were going, who is this guy?
Okay, so remember, pwtorch.com/GoBeIP.
Yeah, okay.
I think we'll be good. Okay, let's get back on with the program. Let's go to the, let's take our mystery caller from the 773 area code. 773, please state your name and town. You're on the live cast with Scotty Riggs and Jim Valley. Hold on a moment. Now we can talk.
Boris from Chicago.
Hey, Boris, how are you?
I'm doing fine. I was listening to a few other shows, and a point was brought up. It was based on Jay Lethal.
Okay.
How he's seen in Ring of Honor. You know, he's a black guy, and like a real champion. You know, and of course y'all know
that's
by
weird.
Now y'all know I'm black, but how do y'all feel about the way, you know, that New Day is treated, how R-Truth is treated, and I'm not sure because I think I walked out, but JBL said something about Kalisto being a cockroach with a mask on, and
he said that.
I'm not understanding. How do you guys feel about that? How do you guys feel about that? That's my first question.
Okay. It has been noted that WWE, you know, rarely pushes African American wrestlers as champions. In fact, I think The Rock was the first African American world champion that they had. You have the Soul Patrol, which is Tony Atlas and Rocky Johnson as tag team champions. That was back in the 80s. I think that the New Day had to go through a lot to shift their perception, you know, from being just a silly gimmick to something that, you know, that something that could be an actual entertaining act. Scotty, what do you think?
Well, I mean, it always comes down to that perception that WWE has always had problems in this area from decades ago.
Yeah.
And the weird thing about it is they gave New Day that gimmick, and they didn't know if it was going to get over or what. But those three guys made took crap and made, you know, a filet mignon steak out of it. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
They've got that gimmick over, and the only thing gets me is they're trying to push them as heels, but they got the unicorn gimmick. They got the trombone. They got the dancing. They got every little thing along with it and the title belts, and they're trying to push them as heels. Where if they were the baby faces, they would have every kid buying those things. I mean, they would get pushed so much stronger like that if they were allowed them to actually be the act they're being. They took that and made that act great. The only bad thing about it is WWE hasn't pushed their tag team titles like they're a legit tag team title since probably the Legion of Doom. You know what I'm saying? It's been years since they actually made the tag team titles mean something. Those cats can make it mean something. They just got to book them that way to do it. Jay Lethal has made the Ring of Honor belts mean something because, like you said, they booked him to be somebody for those belts to mean something. Unfortunately, WWE doesn't—they don't book their titles always to mean something. To them, right now, they're like unicorns. You know, they're tag team titles. There's something that's on them right now that can be used in the match, and that's a shame about
right.
that. They can make some great.
It's kind of embarrassing.
Had actually good tag teams.
Yeah.
So, and then R-Truth is he wants to do his rap gimmick because
he's almost
also
a year
pushing
behind.
Rap music. So, I mean, they're actually working with him in a sense to push his rap music that he's doing.
You want me to tell you how I see him?
Please do.
Sure, boss.
Yeah.
He to me, it feels like he's a bumbling idiot. I mean, because the reason I say that, I think I want someone to be portrayed a little better than that. You know, far as so you're telling me this guy is a year behind whatever the pay-per-view behind everybody else, and he's a laughing stock. You know what I'm saying? Which I know he's a more intelligent than that, and I think there's a lack of communication of respect. I know his is a job, but I'm just when I sit here and watch this. You know, I'm to the point where when them segments come up, I turn away because I don't want to see that. You
right.
see what I'm saying?
I understand
it really
exactly what you're saying.
It really makes me feel bad. you know.
Yeah,
it makes
that comes down
bad.
To who their writers are. That's not him. He's given a script and told what to do, and unfortunately sometimes that's what their writers are giving them. The writers are giving them crap, and that's just the nature of the beast. If you're not a top guy, they're just giving you something to do to keep you working. And that's unfortunate.
Yeah, and I think he's probably, you know, he's been there long enough that he's, you know, figured out, okay, I do funny stuff, I get to be on the pay-per-views, and I get, you know, and my check increases. They try to make me, you know, if I try to be a serious wrestler, they're going to ignore me. So, I mean, I understand why he's doing what he's doing.
Yeah.
Jim, what are your thoughts here?
There's a couple of things. First of all, I think R-Truth is still being punished and has been stereotyped as an idiot when he came out on Raw and talked to the wrong city. What was he like? Was it Cleveland? He said St. Louis or something like that. Remember that years ago when he was still getting his push and he named the wrong city? And ever since then, they played him as a bumbling fool. But it also harkens back to, if you remember, Bad News Allen, Bad News Brown in the WWF. He would do interviews talking about how after his heel run had sort of run its course, the WWF wanted him to be a babyface, and they wanted him to be this slow. Back in the early days of television and radio, there was a character called Stephen Fetchin. And Stephen Fetchin was this stereotypical African-American who was slow and dumb and danced and did this terrible shtick. And while I thought that it was funny that some character in the WWF thought that the Royal Rumble was a ladder match and they were playing Money in the Bank, I thought just that concept itself, I think, is a funny joke, one-note joke. It made me very uncomfortable that R-Truth was the one that they chose to do it, because R-Truth very much acts like a Step and Fetch It character. Do I think that it is racist? Yes. But at the same time, I think that WWE doesn't recognize intentionally that it is being racist. Is that forgivable? Is ignorance always forgivable? No, they should be more sensitive. I think that they make The Miz look to be like an idiot. They make a lot of different people look like idiots, but I think in the case of R-Truth, they need to be a lot more sensitive to what they make him do and how they make him do it, because whether they realize it or not, he comes off as a Step and Fetch It.
Yeah, I mean, I guess part of the point is, Boris, it's not like, I mean, you can be upset with how they treat African Americans, they treat the other minority any better. It's not like they have this great record of treating women well who work
exactly.
for them.
Wait, and that was,
you know?
I got another point to make after this, but that's what my point is, and I was coming to that New Japan. We got Nakamura coming over here. They don't have a good, you know, that's the whole thing when we get these other side of, you know, these different characters. You know, the first worry I had with AJ is, you know, he's got that southern accent. So what they're going to do to him due to the fact that, you know, his accent is on top of his size. And then the same thing with Nakamura due to the fact he's going to come over here too. You know, will he get, you know, keep the same character, or do we have to change him? You know, it's sad that I'm not just singing out one particular thing, but it just, you know, the R-Truth thing just really struck a real, in 2016, a real bad nerve with me, with everything else going on, with especially with Hogan's, you know, this Hogan, you know, the Hogan thing, and then, you know, this is just, sometimes you just have to say something about it, that I'm, you know, and black unicorns, okay? That's how I feel about black unicorns. I mean, they're dark. There's no way around that. But to something else, I mean, I'm sorry for bringing this down a little bit. But I just thought it brought to my attention today on something else I was, you know, listening to. But I enjoyed AJ Styles, you know.
Yeah.
He got to be AJ Styles, you know what I'm saying? And I already watched him, you know, get ready to do the Styles Clash, you know, that whole storyline. And it's awesome to see it re-portrayed here. So what do you guys think about, you know, the threat of the Styles Clash?
I think it's going to be effective, you know, when he actually, I think it's going to be a bigger deal once he actually pulls it off. Yeah. Yeah, I like it. Assuming that's the toughest thing with
AJ is going to be his size and who he can do that move with. Because that was one thing that I always kind of, you know, the one thing they'll tell you is you got to have a finish that you can use on everybody.
Right.
You know, whether you're a big guy, small guy, whatever, you know, it's got to be able to work on everybody. And if you can't get a big guy up in that move, he's got to have a secondary move somehow.
Yeah. Well,
so,
he's had everybody
goes, that thing can hurt you so much. And it's, the thing doesn't hurt you is how, you know, they always say you tuck your chin on most moves or take your neck. This is the, it's the only other move that you don't tuck your chin. You actually put your head backwards, you know. So it's actually the only move you take that's opposite of how you normally protect yourself. And most guys are going to protect themselves by tucking their chin, and that's when they break their own necks. So it's definitely
one of
those
moves. That's what happened in Japan.
Like
he's injured some people.
Well, he didn't injure them. The guys stuck their heads the wrong way.
Yeah, there are people who have been injured. You're right. I spoke inelegantly. You're right.
Yeah, I mean, you're told to tuck your chin. And
this
is the one move, don't tuck your chin to protect yourself. So the opposite direction, you put your head back. But, you know, it's just like the curve stomp thing. They're going to have to figure out if it's actually going to protect guys or what could be his secondary finish.
Well, he was using that one submission move in TNA when he was feuding with Bully Ray. So, I mean, they could go back to that.
Yeah, I mean, again, I'm sure he's smart enough to have a move.
Yeah.
That's going to be good. So.
As for the Southern thing, you know, the biggest money draw in WWF history is a guy with a Southern accent who does a podcast right now. So, I mean,
we would just hope that he would get the same treatment, you know.
I know exactly what you're saying.
You hope they do these guys that they're bringing in, that they're going to do them right and not just try to change them. Like you said, Nakamura coming in. Are they going to give him some stereotypical Japanese gimmick and have him do that? You know, are they going to have him come out and move his lips and English come out? Like they do with the one guy? You know, I hope they don't do stuff like that.
I know.
Here's a guy coming from another country. Here comes a guy from another country relocating himself and having to reacclimate himself to a whole brand new climate, a whole brand new... You know, everything that he's going to have a whole brand new life coming over to the United States to work with WWE when he's been in Japan, his home country, for so long. Are they going to do him right? Or are they going to, you know, completely screw this guy over? Not meaning to on purpose to do it, but to make him fit their mold. You just don't want to see him do that.
I mean, Albert got over in Japan and came over here. They put him in a nightgown or something, or a slip or something. You know,
they gave him the stereotypical Japanese gimmick, and he wasn't even Japanese. I know.
Yeah. Well, people didn't know how to sell his gimmick. They didn't know how to sell his moves that were over huge in Japan. But the guys who they were putting him to work with didn't know how to make the moves look good. And they're very simplistic moves or power moves, but the guys over here didn't know how to make them look good.
Yeah.
So that also means he became a dancing machine.
I somehow don't see Nakamura as the next Disco Inferno, but you know, strange things happen in WWE.
I mean, he does a little bit of Michael Jackson.
Hey.
So.
No. All right.
I get my last question: predictions on Fastlane.
I'm going to go with Roman Reigns winning Fastlane. Does that help?
I've been saying we're going the long route to get him to WrestleMania again. That's why I said before the Rumble, I've been saying it, you know, this has been a 3-year push so far. Am I correct, the third year? So my prediction is Roman Reigns winning Fastlane. All I can do is have flashbacks to him last year beating Daniel Bryan to try to get him over. And this year, now he got two more people in Fastlane, just the Fastlane itself. Now he got two people to help him get over instead of one.
They're trying hard. Okay, caller. What's your name again?
They're not going to give up, of course. Okay?
Caller, what's your name?
Boris.
Boris, I got a question for you, Boris, as a fan. Okay. Here's my question for you, Boris. Monday Night Raw, did you see when Jericho and AJ started the match off? Did you see the show?
Yes.
Yeah.
So, as a fan, and you're sitting there watching the show, and they're just locking up, and the crowd starts chanting, "This is awesome." Did you feel that like it was a misplaced chant or what?
No. I'll tell you why. Because when those two guys, I know exactly. When those two guys, let's go back to the promo. When she asked him, who is you, AJ? And Chris Jericho came in and say he cut him off and did his promo. I'll say that was brilliant. You see what I'm saying? And then we take it to the ring, and then when them guys locked up, you know, due to the fact the fans know who both of these guys are, and there's appreciation for what they're finna do, they actually wrestled. And to me,
but they hadn't even done anything, and the crowd's already chanting, "This is awesome."
Right, but because they know they already.
I know exactly where you're coming from. I was trying to be a bit of a smartass with it, but because they always throw that in there about 5, 10 minutes into a match, where the two guys are just pounding each other, not even doing any spots anymore. They're just hitting each other. The crowd starts chanting, "This is awesome." I actually appreciate it. Kind of where the fans actually put it in the right place, kind of like you're saying, mm-hmm. because here's a chance to see two guys, Styles and Jericho, lock up finally. And it's kind of like a dream match. And they actually put it in the right place. I'm glad you as a fan realize that. So props to you.
And Jericho said, remember now, Jericho said, "I've been waiting so long for this." You see what I'm saying? So it was a total build-up. Just that little bit, they gave us. The fans got to hear it and see it. They was anticipating, and there's still appreciation for what they gave us. And they wrestled into the commercial. It didn't feel like that, oh, man, you know what I'm saying? They wrestled into the commercial in a way that we don't normally get. You get what I'm saying? We know the commercial's there.
Oh, yeah.
But AJ is new to this, and they actually pulled it off. I waited right there. I couldn't wait for that commercial to be over for them to get so I could see them more. It wasn't, you know, go to the commercial finally, you know, or, you know, you listening to the commentary announced sound a certain way. Oh, it's time for a commercial. You know what I'm saying? But the way they wrestle, it fits to go into a commercial and come back and not feel like, oh, they just doing a couple of spots and then commercial. It felt different.
Very good. Okay. Very good.
All right, Boris. I kind of agree, but I think part of it was, you know, when these fans bought tickets for Raw, they probably, you know, they could have guessed maybe that Rock would show up, but I'm sure that they had no idea that they were going to see AJ Styles wrestle Chris Jericho. I think that's
when they announced that match, it was like, wow, 9 o'clock hour. That's a perfect time for it, too. So you got your kids that are just getting ready to go to bed, and your adults that are still watching it, they're tuning in. Perfect time for it.
All right.
Hey,
we're going to get to a couple. Yes, Jim.
Hey, Pat, real quick, I wanted to touch back to something when we had Scotty on hold before we brought him on the show. You know, the first caller wanted to know about thoughts on Daniel Bryan. And, you know, Scotty, I know I'm sure you did it, wrestled injured probably many times, and that's what wrestlers have done for generations and generations. And we're now entering an era where, you know, thankfully things are more closely monitored and things. And I wanted to get your thoughts, you know, given your experience and background on the situation of Daniel Bryan wanting to wrestle, but WWE doctors are not clearing him. Any thoughts on the new normal in professional wrestling when it comes to wrestlers and injuries?
I mean, it's definitely, just as wrestling has evolved, I guess the way they handle injuries has evolved too. I mean, I know I almost got fired after getting a concussion working Perry Saturn on a Nitro. I got a concussion about a couple minutes into the match and somehow finished the match. You could watch it, and my eyes are in two different directions, but I'm going by instinct, get to the back, put my head in a bucket of cold water, put my hair back, and I drenched Bischoff and a couple other people. They said something to me. I dropped a couple F-bombs on them and almost got fired. But I was in La La Land, and that was on a Monday, and then we had TV tapings for Saturday on Tuesday, and I wrestled that Tuesday. had Wednesday off, then Wednesday and Thursday off, then I had house shows on Friday and Saturday. So I was pretty much still concussed, still working shows. Now you got Daniel Bryan, who's been, you know, pretty much cleared by other doctors. WWE is not clearing him right now because I know, I think there's two people or three people that have lawsuits. They're in a lawsuit together. I think, God, I can't picture his face, but I can't think of his name right now. But there's two, three guys that are in a lawsuit together.
Billy Jack Haynes is one of them.
He wasn't, no, somebody else.
There's a number of them.
But there's two that just came out, I think, recently. Something came out of a story that the judge is allowing something to come in there, so it brought everything back up to the forefront again. Something that's come along with the case, the judge is giving some power to the guys who are suing WWE, basically. I can't remember who they are. I can picture his face. He was in ECW and everything else. Always played the Italian gimmick. Ball guy. But
Big Vito.
But long story short, I think because that judge's decision is keeping that case in the forefront, they're not going to let him work. Maroon, their doctor, is not going to let him work right now because it just goes to prove that a guy with concussion history is being allowed to work. So that would bolster the guys that are suing WWE's their case. They can't let him do it right now. They're just not going to let it happen, unfortunately. And it might not be right. It's not fair. He's cleared. But they're not doing it just because of the legalities of it.
Yeah, and I think that's going to be a tough one for him to overcome, frankly. He has a long documented history with concussions.
Yep.
All right, I want to get a couple more things answered. Let's go to the chat room. Some guy says, "What's up, big bro Scotty? Mike Knox." I don't know if that's Mike Knox, but... if it is, he's on the chat.
He's off of Twitter.
Yeah, so. Okay, thank you. Another chat room question.
He did a podcast
Chicky Singer.
He's part of a podcast, I think, called Best Damn Sports Show on radio
something
like that.
Yeah, that explains a lot. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Chicky Singer wants to know, Scotty, is there anybody else besides you and Marcus Bagwell who could have pulled off the American Male gimmick? Who could have been the American
Male?
Wow.
I don't think anybody else had our cheese factor that we had together. Even though the first part, or my part, was actually offered to Tommy Dreamer.
Yeah,
so,
I didn't see that on the shoot interview. Yeah.
Yeah, Tommy Dreamer was actually offered that spot to be Bagwell's partner, but he turned it down. And that's when Jimmy Hart saw me and Marcus in a music video together and put us together after he turned it down. And it worked well for our future. She became hardcore, and I became Cheese Factory.
Let's see. Another question. Oh, geez. Let me see this one. This is from Russ from England, who wants to know. He says he strongly disagrees with the notion going around that Bray Wyatt is not up to facing Brock Lesnar at WrestleMania. He thinks that Bray's problems in the past have been because creative has let him down. And our thoughts. Jim, what do you think? Do you think the problems Bray has had have been due to bad creative, or do you think he is ready right now to face Brock Lesnar at WrestleMania? And I think him having his him getting back to being the cult leader type character really helps him with this.
Well, I think he's a tremendous talent in that sense. I mean, he can hold his own with pretty much anybody, but you know, from a creative standpoint, is he heated it up enough? You know, considering his major feuds have been with, you know, bigger stars than he is, you know, Undertaker, Cena, you know, and now Brock, I mean, it only made sense that he would lose, but I think that everyone's just expecting the same thing to happen, that he'll get heated up for a bit, and then, you know, when the match finally comes, that the bigger star will beat Bray Wyatt, but that's not a knock on him. I mean, that's just creative. You know, I think in the sense that, you know, he can't get hot enough for a major WrestleMania match. No, I don't think he is ready, but that's not a knock on his talent whatsoever.
All right. What do you think, Scotty?
That is failure of the bosses across the board. That they couldn't build up. Bray Wyatt was one of the hottest guys that had come in.
Yep.
And all it would take was one or two good big wins, kind of like it did with Owens beating Cena first time around. Wow,
yeah.
Shot him to the roof. If he could have come out on top on just one of those feuds, you know, got, if he could have got a win over Taker, you know, and that wouldn't have hurt him at all. Somewhere along the line, if somebody would have done something to pass the torch to start him aflame, he'd be a monster right now. Same thing with Rusev. There's somebody. Imagine if Damian Sandow would have cashed in his Money in the Bank against a one-armed John Cena and actually won the title. Where would Sandow be right now? He'd be one of those guys that grabbed that brass ring that Vince McMahon says, the ring's there for him to grab. All they do is grab it. Now we don't have creative that gives these, you know, the right center for them to actually grab it. These guys can get over, have gotten over organically. Bray Wyatt's one of them. He got over organically. But unfortunately, they're not letting him be the villain that he should be. When, right before he comes out, they put on their big, their Raw vision, the Raw-tron, whatever that big screen thing is. You know, Light up your phone. Here comes Bray Wyatt. And so they get, so everybody's cell phones now up. So they're making him like a baby face, even though they want to be a bad guy. So, you know, you give everybody such a missing message. Is he supposed to be a villain that we boo, or are we supposed to blight our cell phones up for him to come out on his end? So, the break can mess with him. If they would build him up the right way, him against Brock Lesnar would be the main event of WrestleMania this year. It would be one of the top three main events for sure, top two. And then after them would be the title match. World title match. So, or it should be them for the world title. You know what I'm saying? But if they would have built him up right and kept it going strong, Madden the money.
All right. We are coming to the end of the program. We have an announcement. Tomorrow on the PW Torch livecast, our man Wade Keller welcomes as his guest somebody who, I don't know, you might have met him, Scotty. His name is Ed Ferrara. He used to book in WWE. He used to be on the creative teams in WWE.
I didn't get to know him that well.
And TNA.
I didn't get to know Ed that well, but he was a cool cat when he was there. Only got to talk to him a few occasions.
All right, so that'll be on
cool
tomorrow. Next Wednesday, Trevor Murdoch set to join us, another former WWE Tag Team Champion who is opening his own wrestling school. And obviously we'll have, and obviously Saturday, we're going to have Jim Valley's Saturday Morning Wrestling.
First time inaugural show live on the live cast. You can call in. You can interact just like you do during the week, only maybe you work during the week or have obligations. Well, now you can actively participate on a Saturday morning show, 11:30 Eastern, 8:30 Pacific, pwtorchlivecast.com. Same livecast channel, different livecast channel.
Now, Scotty, those people who want to catch up with you or talk with you via social media, how can they do that?
You can reach me on my brand-new verified Twitter account, Real Scotty
woo-hoo.
Riggs. Yeah, woohoo. Yeah, woke up one day and had that little blue check there. That was kind of cool. It was kind of groovy to have that little check there for a change, first time ever. But either there or you can follow me on my SQOR account, SQOR. That's a Instagram for athletes that I do.
Ah.
That's pretty much about it.
Okay.
I got rid of the Instagram. I got to be quick to pain in the ass.
All right, and
oops,
for Jim, yeah, you're good. Jim, for future Jim Valley developments, going up to Saturday morning, endorsement deals, bookings, all that. How do they get a hold of you?
On the Twitters at Jim Valley, not verified. I'm just a regular Yahoo. So there you go.
Hey, I was a regular Yahoo for 3 years.
So there's hope for you yet, Jim.
Congratulations,
by the
way.
I'm just a verified Yahoo now.
That's right. Okay, and there we go. It's been another fun hour. Thank you. Thank you very much, Scotty, for coming by and being on the show this week. Jim, thank you for adding an extra show to your list this week. We still have, you can catch all 72 episodes of the Wayback Playback if you're a VIP member at go sign up at pwtorch.com/govip. For everybody else, we will be back next week. Until then, keep your feet on the ground and keep shooting for the stars. Good night, everybody. Go.
another happy ending from the good people at Jimmy James Incorporated.
But the most amazing thing to me is I get paid for doing this.
You suck it.
Sit, Ubu, sit. Good dog.